Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Tower of Power horns fitting. My next man is the Tower of Power when it comes to being cut man in the world of both mixed martial arts and boxing. He is the king. I'm talking about Jacob Stitch Duran. What's up, Stitch?
Hey, Happy New Year, man. I'm doing good, Pedro. Same old stuff.
Happy New Year. Yeah, Happy New Year. Let's hope that 2021 is better than 2020 for everybody in the world. Now, listen, you are a boxing expert, so I am going to put you on the spot and talk about the lightweight division. I asked Larry Merchant about this in hour number one. Of course, the lightweight division, 135 pounds, is hot, hotter than you can imagine right now, and maybe hot like the welterweight division was back in the 80s. Maybe. On top, we have Teofimo Lopez, of course, undefeated. Then we've got Gervonta Davis. He's undefeated as well. The former champion, Vasyl Lomachenko, although I think he's 32 going on 95. Devin Haney, of course, undefeated, fighting in Vegas out of San Francisco. And last night we saw Ryan Garcia, get up off the deck and take out Luke Campbell. Now let's go through the pluses and cons of each guy. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. Let's talk about Mr. Ryan Garcia. He seems to be the guy in the headlines of everybody. Of course, 8 million Instagram followers, obviously 6,000 people packing an arena as putting as many people in an arena as they could during this COVID thing, although I thought it was a little scary. Last night in Dallas, what are Ryan's strengths? What does he bring to the dance as far as his positives?
Well, I think power is probably the thing. If you want my honest opinion, probably the only thing. Boxing skills, I don't see a whole lot of that. Not like a Haney or anything like that. But power, definitely has power.
Okay, but does he improve? I mean, De La Hoya wasn't the sharpest knife in the drawer early on as a pro either. And plus, let's be honest, this kid didn't have the amateur background that Oscar De La Hoya had. I mean, he didn't have the number of fights, let alone the gold medal.
Yeah, definitely. I think he definitely needs to improve, you know. And, you know, only you just got that home run hit, you know, and if you don't know how to get single doubles and triples, you know, then you might be a little bit limited. But, yeah, you know, he's with a good team now, and he seems to be learning. So, but you're right. You know, as a fan, I think everybody's going to want to see his style of fighting.
Nobody's attracted chicks like he has. I mean, you know, since Oscar, and of course that sort of brings a different element to the dance, because you know when you have women in arenas, you and I know that when women show up to fights, it sort of changes the whole composure of the arena.
Yeah, no doubt. But you know, I think it's those 8 million followers, which is kind of phenomenal. You know, I've worked a couple of those YouTube fights, and you know, it's a different world. And Ryan definitely jumped on that wagon, and you know, by all means, great for him, you know. But you're right, you know, when you get women showing up to boxing, then that's the whole horse of a different color.
Gervonta Davis, 24-0, of course, at 130 pounds with a win over Leo Santa Cruz a couple of months ago, and he holds a belt at 135 as well. I always thought he was chubby and fat at 135. Dropping to 130, I thought was a good idea. Pluses and minuses of the tank.
Well, I think the tank is, you know, the Mike Tyson of the lightweight division, no doubt about it, you know. I think, you know, he's only going to get better and stronger. You know, the matchup I'd like to see is him and Teofimo Lopez, and see how that one goes down. But I guess Ryan is talking about fighting him next, so we'll see. You know, you got a guy that has better boxing skills than one. They both have power, so, you know, who would you put your money on?
Okay. Devin Haney, kid from San Francisco. Decided he wasn't going to do the amateur thing, said that screw the chance of the gold medal, even though he was probably a solid amateur and had a decent chance. Turned pro instead, now 24-25-0, take that back. Yeah, 25-0, of course, holds one of those belts. What are his pluses? Let's talk about his pluses first. What are they?
You know, and with Devin Haney, I know he's trained here at the Mayweather gym, but I haven't really seen a lot of his fights, Pedro. Uh-huh. But I think, you know, skill-wise, I know Mike McCallum was working with him on trying to get some body work in there. But skill-wise, yeah, I'd like to see a little bit more on him to give you a little bit more of an idea of what he possesses in my book.
Hey, you brought up Mike McCallum. Here's a good one. I printed in Flash. Remember when I was writing for Flash magazine back in the day when it was like the hot rag? Anyway, I printed that Mike McCallum fought in the 1974 Golden Gloves in Miami or something like that. And I said his age, he was like 44, 45 years old. And he's chasing me around the MGM Grand. Why did you tell people I'm 44 years old? Why did you tell people I'm, anyway, he was joking. I was sort of semi-serious, and he was in his 40s, a little older than he was, but man, what a great fighter. Talk about maybe the most underrated fighter of the 1980s, huh?
Yeah, you know, I had the privilege of working, like, I think Mike's last three fights, Roy Jones, James Toney, and shit, I can't remember, but, you know, I always tell people when it came to natural skills, I learned so much off of Johnny Tapia. When it came to setting up punches, I learned so much from Mike McCallum, and, you know, so he was definitely you know, one of the guys everybody was scared to fight, and I think, you know, he lost a lot of great opportunities only because he was too good for one of the other guys that were on the line.
Okay. Back to Davis for a second. Gervonta Davis, discipline seems to be a question mark, yet he's 24-0. I should just shut up, right, until he loses?
Yeah, I think so. You know, I think, you know, that's the Adrian Broner type of guy, right? But, you know, that was my point that I was going to bring up with Ryan Garcia. Now that, you know, he won such a instrumental fight at this point, you know, 8,000 viewers, and, you know, it's only going to get better and bigger, but where does he go from there? Does he stay disciplined? And that's one of the hardest things for these young guys to do, whether it's to stay focused, stay disciplined, and, you know, and understand that everybody's vulnerable.
But COVID makes it easier to stay disciplined. Believe me, COVID makes it easier.
Yeah, I had some friends that came over from San Francisco, actually, and they're saying, you know, it's nice just to get out because we live in a small apartment, and San Francisco is restricting everything. So, yeah, I understand. I understand it's a hard mission.
Okay. Devin Haney, as I said, fast hands. Did he not deliver against Gamboa? I mean, here's Gamboa, a shop-worn Cuban, a guy that's maybe, you know, what, 8 or 10 years past, maybe 7 years past his best, and yet he can't knock him down. Crawford knocked him down 5 times.
That says a lot, you know, but I guess fights, you know, individual fights are entirely different, so what happens one time might not happen the second.
Vasyl Lomachenko, is he 32 going on 85?
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, he's been exposed. I was there at the Teofimo Lomachenko fight, and you know, I like Teofimo. I've always liked him since when I first met him here in Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, when you look at the breakdown, he's been discovered, and you know, the kinks in the armor are getting bigger. So and the opponents are getting better. So where does he fall on that list? You know, does he go down to 3 and 4?
You know, the Teofimo Lopez, of course, he world lightweight champion out of Brooklyn, New York, but his people are from Honduras. He's called his move the takeover. There seems to be a little bit different attitude. I mean, Davis has got a different attitude. I mean, Lopez got a different attitude. Lomachenko sort of, he's not really part of the picture because he didn't speak English all that well. Devin Haney and Ryan Garcia, lots of personalities here, man. I'm going to ask you the question I asked Larry Merchant. Could the lightweight division become the welterweight division of the 1980s?
Yeah, I think so. You know, I think so. I'm looking forward to, you know, seeing these guys kind of go against each other now. And I think it's at that point now where, you know, all these guys that you're mentioning are all going to have to fight each other. So, yeah, I think so. But I think that's, you know, people want to see action.
Canelo Alvarez, of course, 54-1, a couple of draws, a winner a couple of weeks ago, Fortnite, over an undefeated guy from the UK. Give him props. You know, I'm sort of amazed. Maybe I shouldn't be amazed because he's an athlete, but here's a guy that stays in shape between fights, and you and I know our Latino fighters are not really known for that. Did I say that nicely?
Yeah, you did good on that. Yeah, you know, that's the good thing I like about him is, you know, he's not real cocky. You know, he goes out and performs, and, you know, and if you say he's training. So, bless his heart, man. You know, some people just belong in the gym, and he seems to be one of them. And, you know, I always say if you do it for the money, you do it for the wrong reasons, Pedro. You got to have a passion for what you do to really excel at what you do. So I think Canelo falls in that category.
Welterweights, Errol Spence and Terrence Crawford. Is that a flip a coin thing, or what's going on? Who do you think wins that one?
Well, you know, I've always been a Errol Spence fan from the first day I met him. Like I said, with Stacy McKinley introduced me to him at the MGM, and so this guy's going to be a great, great fighter. And but you know what? On a marketing aspect, yeah, that's a flip of the coin. But on a marketing aspect, God, whoever manages both these guys, they need to do something about getting them some better PR, because they're just not household names. And, you know, you walk into an airport and you pass them by, would you recognize them? And that, to me, I think that's a big fault that that they're missing on.
Earl Spence always looks, he always looks buzzed to me. You know what I mean by buzz? I don't mean on alcohol. And Crawford, you know, Terrence Crawford, they don't call him Bud for nothing. You know what I'm trying to say there? Do you feel the correlation, what I'm trying to make there?
Well, yeah, but I'll refuse to answer that on the show.
Exactly, and that's exactly the way I wanted you to come back. Tyson Fury, world heavyweight champion. You've looked at him and worked with him in the past. Is he by himself as far as heavyweights are concerned, or is there somebody you think is Joshua a real viable challenger?
You know what? That's a good question, man. And fortunate enough, I got into camp with Tyson Fury when he fought Deontay Wilder 2 weeks before his fight. Mm-hmm. So I got to see him at his peak point. And, you know, I looked at him, and then I go back to the Vladimir Klitschko fight where he just kind of outboxed him. But, yeah, you can't teach that kind of style to anybody but nobody. So is he on top of the heap by himself? I think right now, yeah, until somebody learns to read his style of fighting and has counterpunches for that, it's going to be tough to beat, man.
Okay, I got about 30 seconds left. You got any products you want to pitch?
Well, just, yeah, the CBD products, you know, the Cut Cream, that's available at CutManForHireSupplies.com, and of course, my Stitch Premium products. So they're out there. Everything's at CutManForHireSupplies. That's, you know, the only place where you go get your Corner Man and Cutman supplies.
Cutman for Hire, like a hitman for hire. Bottom line is, you're a class act. Say hello to your wife. She's a bigger fan of mine than yours, huh? Than you are.
Yeah. She says, who the interview with? I said, Pedro. Oh, tell him I said hi.
All the best, Jake Durant. Take care.
God bless. Thank you. Bye.
As we go to the break, of course, the passing this weekend of Dawn Wells. She played Marianne in Gilligan's Island. She passed from COVID. May she rest in peace.
The middle would be lost. The middle would be lost. The ship set round on the shore of this uncharted desert isle with Gilligan, the skipper too.